Appreciate the good prayer this morning. Brad, thank you for reading the Scriptures, God's precious Word. And we surely are thankful. Tommy made some comments about forgetting something. Don't worry, Tommy. April 20th is coming. Everything's going to be all right from then on. I guarantee you I've already faced that. We're glad to have you here today, and we're thankful that we can be together. And what a passage of Scripture to begin to read. Somebody said, I don't want to talk about the wrath of God. I don't want to hear any preaching about the wrath of God, the anger of the Lord. Well, my friend, I tell you what, if you study the book of Nahum, which we're doing in the auditorium class, you're going to find that God's wrath is depicted in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. And in this reading from Revelation chapter 6, after the sixth seal is revealed, the Bible makes a statement that I want you to carry home with you this morning. Because I know that that day is coming when the wrath of God will be revealed. And then, look at this statement. For the great day of His wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? Who's going to be able to stand at that time? The last verse of our reading this morning. What? The wrath of God in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. It's emphasized. Isaiah, Paul, John, and our Lord Jesus Christ, all of them together, spoke of the wrath of God. Now, I read this. I want you to consider. I couldn't quote everything because some of the things I didn't want people to hear. But 400 bikers recently gathered to pay their last respects to Grandpa Bob. Bob Shields, the founding member of the once feared motorcycle gang known as the Bandidos, died of cancer at the age of 78. 78 years old, died of cancer. Middle-aged and older bikers gathered to drink beer, swapped stories of the good old days of drug running, assault, terrorism, murder, not to mention some legal sins. What caught my attention was the macho manner in which they attempted to deal with death and the reality of future judgment. Listen, one gray bearded biker said, the devil's in the unemployment line now. Lamont, another heavily tattooed gang member, is reported to have said, where he's gone, that's where we're all going someday. He's just waiting on us. I don't want no preachers ranting and raving over me, he wrote. Besides, I'll be down there below drinking whiskey and that's it. What? Coming to death and people are talking about God and the existence after death? There are people that don't believe in God. There are people that God's wrath is going to be kindled against. The definition of the wrath of God, simply, divine wrath is God's righteous anger and His punishment provoked by sin. God hates sin. Doesn't hate the sinner. He loves the sinner. He wants them to come out of sin. But He hates sin. In our day, there are so many people today who honestly believe that the wrath of God is just something in the Old Testament. That today, we're under the law of Jesus Christ, and God's Son, Jesus, has died, and everybody's going to be safe. So, you don't talk about the wrath of God. But I suggest to you this morning, that is not substantiated by the Word of God. Let's consider some Scriptures. Boy, when I was studying, I couldn't believe it. In Exodus 34, verse 34, for you shall worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Leviticus 26, verse 28, then I will walk contrary to you in wrath. I will also chastise you seven times for your sins. Deuteronomy 4, 23 and 24, be careful lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God which He made with you and make yourselves engraven image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a devouring fire, a jealous God. Over and over, but then listen more. In the book of Deuteronomy 6, verse 15, for the Lord your God among you is a jealous God. Lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you, and He destroy you from off the face of the earth. Deuteronomy 29 and went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods that they didn't know and that he had not given to them. Therefore, our Lord's anger burned against this land to bring on it all the curses that are written in this book. The Lord rooted them out of their land in anger, in wrath and in indignation, thrust them into another land as it is this day. In Psalms 89, verse 46, how long, the Lord, will you hide yourself forever? Will your wrath burn like fire? I tell you what, when you look in Jeremiah 4, verse 4, circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart, you men of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my wrath go out like fire and burn so that no one can quench it because of the evil of your doings. Nahum 1, verse 2, the Lord is a jealous God and avenges. The Lord avenges and is full of wrath. Did somebody say God's word doesn't say anything about the wrath? The wrath of God? Look at the examples. The flood. I ask you, who was able to stand? When God's rain came down, the floods came. Who was able to stand? Only eight. The like figure weren't doing even baptism at all now. Save us. When the once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, wherein there was only eight souls. Eight souls that were saved. You believe in the wrath of God? Just that example. Just here to help us to realize God means what He says. And then, look first, when the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah came, how many people were able to stand? Well, the wife got the stern and started to laugh, and God had said, don't you look back. She did. What happened to her? Jesus even is quoted in Luke 17, verse 32, and he said, remember Lot's wife. Just Lot and his two daughters. When you look at Nadab and Abihu, and they're making a sacrifice to God, and they take the fire from a place that God did not ordain, what happened to them? Were they able to stand? My friend, they couldn't stand. They weren't able to. When the walls of Jericho came tumbling down flat, who was able to stand? There was a woman whose name was Rahab the harlot. She and her family were only ones that were able to stand. And boy, I tell you, this one really got me. You remember the story about Korah and Dathan and Abiram? And these men, you know what they did? They were contesting the fact that God had put Moses and Aaron as their leaders. And they said, well, who are you? Why can't we be the same? And Moses said, if they die a death that is a normal death. Moses says concerning these people that he was not then the leader of God's people. And I'm going to read this. Because I don't know about you. It scared me to death to be in a place when something like this happened. Listen to it. Then he came about as he finished speaking Moses all these words, that the ground that was under them split open, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up and their households, and all the men who belonged to Korah with their possessions. So they and all that belonged to them went down alive in the grave or Sheol. And the earth closed over them, and they perished from the midst of the assembly. And all Israel who were around them fled at their outcry. For they said, the earth may swallow us up. Fire also came forth from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering the incense. Do you believe in the wrath of God? I do. I know even from the examples in the Old Testament. And in this example, God made it clear that Moses and Aaron were His appointed leaders, and He got rid of all of those who had contested that fact. But then now let's move to the New Testament for a few minutes. What does the New Testament say about the wrath of God? Are there very many scriptures that say anything about the wrath of God? Let's listen to it. He that believeth in the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Huh? Who said that? Jesus. When I go to the New Testament, I look in Romans 1 verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And then listen, turn a little bit over in that book. In Romans 2 verse 5, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Who will be able to stand? Will I? Will you? Do you believe in it? The wrath of God? Romans 9 verse 2, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? God, so long-suffering, we talked about that in my class. God's not willing that any should perish. But the only way you're going to be saved, the only way I can be saved, is to fear God and keep his commandments. And then you look in the book of God, to Romans 13 verse 4, where he talks about the people who are in the world that have been appointed of God as ministers of God, and they're therefore our good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God of revenge to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. That's why they're there. I learn more from the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians 5 verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of whom? You can't disobey God and get by with it. I can't either. Why? Because God is sovereign. He is Lord of all. And when he speaks, he means it. Oh, he loves us and cares for us. But look in Colossians 3 verse 6. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of whom? People who are disobedient. Hebrews 5, 8 and 9. Though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things that he suffered in being made perfect. He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. What's going to happen to those who disobey him? There it is. The wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. James 1 verse 20, you remember we're still in the New Testament. We're talking about being under the New Testament now. What are we learning? Wow. You don't believe in the wrath of God, you don't believe the Word of God. For the wrath of God worketh not the righteousness of God. The wrath of men, rather, worketh not the righteousness of God. The same shall drink of the vine of the wrath of God. Revelation 14 verse 10. Which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. God. Revelation 14, 9. And the angels thrust in his sickle into the earth, gathered the vine of the earth, cast into the great winepress of the wrath of God. It's there. In Revelation 15, verse 1, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. What else do we learn? Revelation 15, verse 7, and one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. But we're not even finished. In Revelation 16, 1, and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your way, pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Oh, my friends, Revelation 16, verse 19, the great city was divided into three parts. The cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the vine of the fierceness of his wrath, the wrath of God. Revelation 19, 15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth out the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. I know God says so much about the wrath, His wrath, the wrath of God. For you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and patience, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth you to repentance. What do we hear in 2 Peter 3:9? The Lord is not slow concerning His promises. Some count slowness, but He's patient with us, not wishing that any should perish and come under the wrath of God, but that all should come to repentance. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth. And men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And the great day of His wrath is come. What does the book of Revelation say? Don't understand the whole, but I can understand that. And every single time that God has manifested His wrath, it's manifested because He is indeed and has the wrath of God. But the question comes back to you and me now. Who can stand when the wrath of God is come? Why preach on it? Because I don't want anybody to be lost. I don't want to be lost. I want everybody to be saved by God. You know, Isaiah was a great man, wasn't he? Oh, I love to study that book. We just studied it several months ago in the auditorium. Isaiah is just full of what? The work of God. You hear him in the very first chapter crying to the people, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." But what do the people say? "We will not come. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and He shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it." Yes. And then we listen, we studied Hosea not long ago. Hosea is just a book filled with love, compassion. And many people who have studied all these prophets in depth for years have said perhaps that's the most lovable book of the Old Testament. Hosea. He's been hailed as the greatest preacher of God's love in the Old Testament. But look at Hosea in verses 15 through 17 of the 9th chapter, speaking of Ephraim. "All their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them. For the wickedness of their doings I will drive them out of my house. I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters. Ephraim is smitten, their root is dried up. They shall bear no fruit, yea, though they bring forth, yet will I slay even the beloved fruit of their womb. My God," and listen, "my God will cast them away because they did not hearken to Him, and they shall be wanderers among the nations." They wouldn't listen. And the wrath of God came upon them. Not a single one in this building this morning would think that the Apostle Paul was not a great preacher of love. But I want to tell you something, friend. He loved souls. So he preached to those souls. Paul's love knew no boundaries or limits. He could say, "I could wish myself anathema from Christ for my brethren according to the flesh," in Romans 9, verse 3. But he, more than the other apostle, thundered the message of the wrath of God. Listen to it. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven." Who wrote that, Paul? "Revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." And then notice that he also says, "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, thou treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath." Who? Paul. John. Oh, we love John. He was such a lovable apostle. Well, he wrote in 1 John 4, verse 8, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." But what else did he say? Listen to him, and the kings of the earth, and the great men of the rich, and the chief captains, the mighty men, and every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? John wrote the book of Revelation. Wow. And friends, no greater than Jesus Christ. My Lord and your Lord, one we love so much, and we're hoping to see him face to face, standing before him in that great day. Oh Lord, help us to be ready. When we come to the words of Jesus, we must remember they made love perfect. He gave his life for all. He loved us before we loved him. And yet, would you remember what he said? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That means believeth to do His will. That means is a follower of Christ. The person that does that, Jesus said, hath everlasting life. And he that obeyeth not the Son shall not see life. He will not live. He will not be saved. Why? But the wrath of God abideth upon him because he obeyeth not what the Son says. To the hypocrites he said, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? That's the words of Jesus, Matthew 23 and verse 7. Yes, God is slow to anger, but quick to forgive. Our inactions truly matter. Sometimes people say, but God doesn't really care what I... Yes, he does. He couldn't care more because he loves you. And he wants you and me to come to be with him. But he tells us what to do. Thou, even thou, art to be feared, Psalm 76, verse 7. And who may stand in thy sight whence once thou art angry? Don't ever make him angry. If you, the Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who shall stand? Psalms 130, verse 3. If there was no forgiveness, who could stand? Not a single one of us. A fact about the judgment of God is courtesy. There's no parent in this building that can stand up for you before God. There's not a single elder, though you may love them dearly. There's not a preacher on this earth. There's not a deacon. The Bible's clear. Yes, we'll be judged individually. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Ezekiel 20, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Not a single thing can be used. I don't care how much money you got. Doesn't make any difference what power position you may hold. You make all kinds of promises that you don't even keep. What is really done is what you're going to be able to be judged by. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. Ah, to counteract, to show the contrast, look at the promises of God to those who are in Christ Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4, verse 12. There's only one way to get into Christ. Young people, if you reach the age of accountability and you know you're lost, you can't get into Christ any other way than to be baptized by the Galatians in Galatians 3 and verse 27 and experience the new birth, John 3, verse 5. Surely, you want to go to heaven when you die. Young, middle-aged, and old must be in Christ Jesus. That means you're in the body. That's only one way you can get in the body. You can't join it. You can't go out here and make a promise that you'll do this or that. There's only one way to get into the body of Jesus Christ, just like the Corinthians. For by one Spirit are you all baptized into one body. That's how you get into the church. And there's only one. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. God has put all things under His feet and given him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. He is the head of the body of the church. Colossians 1:18, and there's only one, Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6. But you and I have got to be faithful. Why? Revelation 2, verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee the crown of life. Paul, in those beautiful words in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Don't be like Demas. You know what the Bible says about this man? In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10, Demas hath forsaken us, having loved this present world. Don't be like Diotrephes. In 3 John verses 9 through 10, Diotrephes wanted the preeminence among the brethren. Christ is the one who has all preeminence. Christ is the one is to look up to. Don't be like Diotrephes, and don't be like that betrayer whose name is Judas. Yes, he betrayed the Lord. Our Lord, your Lord, my Lord. Judas did it. And then afterwards, returned the money, they wouldn't take it. And he went out and killed himself and committed suicide. But friends, be like Paul. Paul who could say, I have fought a good fight, I finished the course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day. But not to me only, but unto all them that love Israel. I want to be more like him, don't you really? I want to put first things first, don't you? In Matthew 6, verse 33, I fail many times, do you? Be like Peter, though he denied the Lord. He repented and became a great follower of Jesus Christ. And yes, if it even leads us to it, be like Stephen, whom they persecuted, whom they threw stones at, who died for the kingdom of God. Death seals your destiny and mine. You cannot hope to go to heaven if you have not lived in the way that God's people have been instructed. Let your light shine. Matthew 5, 16, do you? Be you doers of the word now. Do you? James 1, 22. Be a follower, faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Are you? 1 John 1, verse 7. I like that statement. The only way I can stand. The only way you can stand. The only way anybody can stand is when you stand up with Jesus Christ. He will stand with you if you have stood with Him. He will confess He knows you if you have confessed you knew Him. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Who in this building will be able to stand? It's urgent that you obey the gospel. It's absolutely imperative that you be baptized. And it's God's will that you be faithful to the very end. Who shall be able to stand? The wrath of God, Old Testament and New, who at the door is standing? Jesus. And He doesn't want a single one in this building today to be lost. But will you? You know the Bible. Surely you believe it. If you've not conformed your life to the teaching of His will, you'll turn today. You'll obey the Lord. Yes, do that, won't you? Won't you, if you've never been baptized, come. If you're an erring child of God, come. Let us all come before the great throne of God, because we're people that believe His word, and He's made a promise that He'll forgive us when we meet the conditions of His will. Had a lady one time. She wanted to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, but then began to talk about all the things that kept her from doing so. How many people make excuses? God can see through all of that. I can see through it myself, with my own self, when I make excuses for something, what I've done wrong, and I won't admit it. Why not this morning, knowing the wrath of God, knowing He loves us, He wants us to be saved. But just like Nahum said, when we studied in our class this morning, God now will destroy Nineveh, whom He spared before. Why? Because of the wrath of God. I want you to obey the gospel. If I can help you, I'd come back there and walk with you. Young people, I don't want you to be lost. Mothers and daddies, we are standing, as it were, before the Almighty God, and the decision we make today could really make the decision of where we'll spend eternity. If you're subject in any way, won't you come and obey Him while together we stand and walk?